your love is like radiant diamonds.
It is another week. This is Andrew Wood, Executive Director of Hope Resource Center, and we are so glad that you are tuning in today, wherever you may be. Maybe you're tuning in live on WRJZ. Maybe you listen to the podcast via iTunes or Podbeam, and you're listening on your phone while you're doing some other, while you're sitting at your desk or while you're at your house. Either way, we are grateful that you are tuning in as we talk about life and the celebration of it. You can learn more about Hope at investinghope.com. You can find us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, all of those places. We have a lot to talk about today as we prepare next week for the March for Life, which is in Washington, D.C. I will be joining hundreds of thousands of people, a couple hundred thousand, maybe more than that, in D.C. to tell the world that life has value. And March for Life's theme this year is Love Saves Lives. And they're doing, they're having a lot of pregnancy center discussion, which I'm certainly thankful for. Also, I'll be a part of the Evangelicals for Life conference that's going on. But I'll be speaking at a rally for young people. Right now, the last number I received was around 1,200 high school and college age students are going to be at this rally that I'm speaking at. So I can talk about how in the pregnancy center world, love saves lives. But before I get into anything today, what I want you to know is that on Saturday at 3:15, Charlie Jean Wood was born. That's right. My fourth child, my third daughter, and we are so excited about adding to the Wood family. So what happened was Saturday, we were scheduled to be induced. My wife was scheduled to be induced on the 15th. Of January, which was next Monday, and instead of that happening, my wife got called in to work. She works at the vet school, and she got called in to work on Saturday, and she calls me, and she says, my water just broke, and I need you to come get me. And so, of course, we didn't have a bag packed. We didn't have anything ready, and so I was already driving, so I turned around, went home, packed two bags for me and her. And then I drove really fast with my flashers on to try to get to Erin and get her to the hospital. And then she called me back and she said, I'm in way too much pain. I'm afraid I'm not going to get there quick enough. So somebody drove her to the hospital, and then I met her there. And then at 3:15, little Charlie Jean Wood entered the world, and we could not be more excited. And the great thing about it is a lot of people before Charlie was born were asking, what are you going to name her? What are you going to name her? And I will be completely honest. We did not finalize that name. We had that name in our pocket. We had that name in our mind. We didn't finalize that name until after Charlie was born, and then we finally decided on it. And Charlie Jean Wood, 9 pounds, 3 ounces, 20¾ inches long. So not quite as big as Evelyn, our third child. Evelyn was 9 pounds, 11 ounces. But this one, number two, in terms of size, 9 pounds, 3 ounces, and mommy and baby are okay. The other kids are okay. They are beside themselves with a little baby in the house, and could not be more excited. So I appreciate your prayers. I know I've been talking about that and asking for your prayers. I appreciate your prayers for our family, and my wife's going to take some time off, obviously, to spend that with little Charlie, and we just pray that everything will continue to go smooth and with all the healing process and everything. And so exciting time at the Woodhouse over the weekend, and we came home yesterday. We were able to come home yesterday afternoon. And so, if you're a man out there listening, and I know women are going to hear this and say, really, you're going to complain because you did not deliver a baby. But hear me out. If you're a man listening and you've been in the mother and baby room, you sleep on this. It's not a couch. It's a chair that folds out into somewhat of a bed. That's one of the most uncomfortable things ever. And so it was nice to get home to our bed last night. But certainly I was not as uncomfortable as my wife was in delivering a 9 pound baby. So it's amazing just the whole process and the beauty of life. And so the Wood family grew by one number on Saturday, and we welcomed little Charlie Jean into the world and are excited about that. And it works out a lot better because I was traveling to Washington, D.C. next Wednesday, And my wife was really nervous about me leaving 2 days after the baby was born. So this way we have a full week to get acclimated, and then I will be leaving next Wednesday for Washington, D.C. So we're excited about that, and hopefully I'll see some of you in Washington, D.C. If you can make it, we would certainly encourage you to join us in Washington as we celebrate life and stand for life and let the world know that love certainly does save lives and that life has value and does matter. And so what I want to do today is I want to talk about Planned Parenthood's recent annual report, and I think I discussed it a little bit last week, but I put some words to paper last week after the show, and so I want to talk about that a little bit, and then I want us to look at what 2018 is going to hold, and I also want to thank you for your giving at year end, and I'm going to give you some numbers that deserve our celebration because you stood with us, you partnered with us, and you're going to allow us to serve a lot more men and women and babies in our city, and we could not be more thankful for that. But first, I want to talk quickly about how the model of love, service, and care is making a difference in saving lives. So there's been a great deal of discussion in recent weeks concerning Planned Parenthood's most recent annual report. And if you follow along the pro-life sites, you've seen a number of articles discussing the annual report. Every year, pro-lifers come out and they look at Planned Parenthood, the largest abortion provider in the country. We look at their annual report and we see, okay, are they continuing to perform the amount of abortions that we know that they do? Are they going down in other services and what that looks like? And so this report, when taken in its proper context, gives us a glimpse into the decline of one of the largest abortion clinics in the country. I realize this may seem a bit far-fetched to anyone that frequents a cable news channel, but it is important that we deal in truth and look at what the numbers are telling us. The decline seen in the abortion Goliath is substantial and deserves our notice. This organization has been around for over 100 years, but they reached their peak in 1995 when they had 935 clinics around the country, as shown in the American Life League's most recent report. It is during this time that they set the lofty goal of having 2,000 clinics by the year 2000. Thankfully, this goal was never met, and this abortion organization actually saw a decrease in facilities over the years instead of an increase, as they now have 597 clinics open after closing another 32 in 2017. So praise God, they closed 32 more clinics across the country in 2017. Their current facility number is certainly staggering, but we must celebrate the work of the pro-life movement in seeing 36% of Planned Parenthood's facilities closed since 1995. Now listen to that number again. 36% of Planned Parenthood's facilities have closed since 1995. These closures didn't occur by chance. No, they occurred because of the work of the pro-life movement. We pro-lifers tend to be beaten down in the narrative of the day that one may find on cable, online, and printed news. We are consistently maligned by our detractors as religious or political zealots that care nothing about women's health. These smears come daily with very little fact-checking as the abortion lobby seeks to stymie our cause. We oftentimes take these beatings in silence as we seldom have the platforms afforded to the abortion lobby. These attacks, however, do not have the effect that many hope for, as they actually further our desire to see life celebrated and abortion ended. You see, our drive to serve is not based in irrational fear, anger, or budget lines. I see this every single day at Hope. We do not mention the abortion lobby or Planned Parenthood in our morning meetings as we discuss the upcoming day and our patients on the schedule. We instead set our minds and hearts on what the day may bring, a day frequently filled with scared moms in need. Our schedule isn't just a list of names or customers. It is instead a list made up of individuals that deserve our love and care. The young high school student that finds herself facing a pregnancy in her teens. The young woman that has abortion in her past but seeks a different outcome in her present, or the young family that finally saw that positive sign on their pregnancy test. You see, we work for them. I'm convinced that the work of pregnancy centers in our country and the model of love, service, and care that we practice on a daily basis will be the driving factor in bringing about the ultimate demise of the abortion era. Our practices are not motivated by budget lines, revenue generators, fear, or hate. No, our practices and the pro-life movement as a whole are motivated by love for our neighbor, both in and out of the womb. We are seeing the writing on the wall. Funds are drying up for the abortion giants. Patients are seeking care elsewhere. And technology is showing that the clump of cells is actually a life worth saving. I have no way of knowing when we will ultimately reach the precipice and see the last abortion clinic close its doors. But I do know that we will open our doors tomorrow and the next day and every day after that at Hope as we seek to serve the men and women of our city. I also know firsthand, as we saw here in Knoxville in 2012, that when pregnancy center doors open, we often see abortion clinic doors close. So stand with us today as we start another year of love, service, and care to a city in need. So think about that. When pregnancy center doors open, oftentimes abortion clinic doors close. Now, why is that? That happens because the model of love, service, and care that we provide at Hope Resource Center and at 2,500+ pregnancy centers around the country is making a difference. And so patients ultimately, whether they're paying money or not, patients ultimately want to be served well. They want to be taken care of. They want to be known. They want to know that they are loved and cared for. And so what they find a lot of times at the abortion clinic is they're not loved and cared for, especially if they're not looking to receive an abortion. But what they find at like 99% of the time, and we have stats to back that up, at a pregnancy center, they're finding that they matter, they have value, they are loved, they are cared for. And also, most of the time, at most pregnancy centers, like Hope Resource Center, they're not asked for anything. They don't need to pay us a dime. We're able to take care of them, love them, serve them, provide the services that they need. And in our case, that is pregnancy tests and ultrasounds and STD testing and treatment and well woman care and parenting classes and mentoring. And on top of all of that, throwing baby showers. We're able to do all of that and never ask them for a dime. And we can do that because of the numbers that I'm going to be giving you here in a second, based on year-end giving and banquet giving and summer mailing giving and the car shows and different things that we do to fundraise to allow us to serve. Again, I've said this multiple times, but fundraising is a vehicle. It is not our mission. We never want to become the center, the nonprofit that is the all you do is ask for money nonprofit. That is not who we are. But what we do know is we cannot do the work that we do unless you partner with us. But in partnering with us, you are making a difference. In partnering with us, a heartbeat is being allowed to continue. In partnering with us, a family is becoming complete. Lives are being saved. Lives are being transformed. Women are being shown that they can, in fact, have their baby and their dreams. That's what we have in your partnership. And so when we come back, what I want to do is I want to talk about the year-end giving that occurred and your outpouring of support in not just dollars, but also in baby shower items and diapers and wipes and all the things that we need to love on our patients. You made that happen. You made another year, the 21st year possible at Hope Resource Center, and we are so grateful for those partnerships. We'll talk in a sec. And we're back. And I do want to mention a lot of the music that you hear coming in and out of breaks, whether you're listening on the podcast or you're listening live here on WRJZ, either way that you listen, a lot of that music, not all of it, but a lot of it is from Chuck Hooton and Shoreline Worship. You can find some of their albums on iTunes and other places, and just are thankful for him. Chuck is and he'd be mad for me saying this, but Chuck is an amazing guy, an amazing and gifted songwriter and artist. And so I love his music. My family loves his music and I just love him as a friend. And so I do want to give credit where credit is due. And that is Chuck Hooton and Shoreline Worship. And we're certainly thankful for him. So what I want to do now is talk about year end giving. No, I'm not going to ask you for money, but what I do want to spend some time on is talking about the partnerships that we have within this city. So during the month of December, we always, November and December, right before Thanksgiving, we kind of make a push. We send out a mailer. We have social media posts. We do all the things that a lot of nonprofits do. And we ask you to partner with us. We ask you to make a year-end gift. And for some, it's difficult to ask for money. But And I've done it in a number of different venues. I've done it in the political world. I've done it for higher education. And now I'm doing it at Hope Resource Center. And I'm just going to be completely honest. Doing it in the other realms, the other venues, was somewhat difficult for me. Because I didn't have the passion. And I myself might not have even written a check to some of those organizations. But at Hope Resource Center, my family is a partner. My family financially supports Hope Resource Center, and I'm passionate about the work that we're doing. We are making a difference in lives. Your partnership is saving lives. That is not me trying to blow smoke or make you feel good. That is me telling you the honest truth. The honest truth. That there are babies, there are lives right now in this city and around this country that might not have been here had Hope Resource Center not been here and opened their doors to moms in need. And you make that happen. So what we saw between Thanksgiving to the end of the year is we saw churches, we saw individuals, we saw businesses come together and stand with us. And so we saw White Lace and Promises bring and we went and picked it up. I mean, they do a sale at the every year, and they allow for customers to bring in gifts, and I think they give them a discount with their wedding dresses and those type things. And so we completely filled. I have one of the biggest SUVs out there, and we completely filled it up from the passenger seat to the ceiling and all the way back. The only place to sit was the driver's seat. We completely filled it up. And then there was another SUV that we completely filled up with diapers, wipes, and you have no idea how much that means to us and to our patients. Not only for the baby showers, yes, we do about 50 baby showers every year. So what that means is that baby shower time, we give out diapers to our patients. But also every now and then, periodically throughout the year, we have patients give us a call and they say, we don't have any diapers. I'll tell you a story. We had a patient come in and say, my boyfriend kicked us out of the house. I have one diaper, no wipes. And what do? We provided them with diapers. Of course we did. And so because of your gifts, we're able to look those moms in the eye and say, we're here for you. We're going to help you when it comes to our patients. And so White Lace and Promises did that. Churches in the community have done that. And also what we found and what we saw in terms of your financial giving is over $195,000 was given in year-end gifts. That's huge. So what's that mean? That means we can serve our patients. That means your partnership will allow us to continue to love and serve our patients. And this year, that what I always love about, looking through who's giving and is the amount of new donors, the amount of new partners that are saying, look, we heard about Hope Resource Center. We want to stand with you and help you. You are helping us make that difference. So it's not us just constantly asking for money. Do we have to ask for money? Sure. But it's you catching the vision and you seeing that and saying, yes, I want to make a difference in this city. I want to help Hope Resource Center make a difference in this city. I want to see babies being born. I want to see moms being loved. I want to see these moms and these young families given the support they need. I want to see obstacles removed from their lives, that lives that have been constantly bombarded with obstacle after obstacle after obstacle. And at Hope Resource Center, we're able to look them in the eye and say, we're going to remove as many obstacles as we possibly can to make this transition into motherhood as smooth as we possibly can. And so that's what we've been able to do. Over $195,000 raised at year end. Because people decided to write a check. Because people decided to go to investinghope.com and click on the donate button. And because of that, we're able to look at young moms and say, this city cares about you. There are people in this city that care about you. And when we break it down even further, I'm able to say there are people in Michigan that care about you. There are people in Arkansas that care about you. There are people in Florida or Alabama that care about you. Because we have gifts from all of those places. We have people in Virginia that care about you. They will never meet you. They will never meet your child, but they care about you. And you care enough to donate. You care enough to pray. You care enough to give of your time. And that makes a huge difference in the lives of these young women and their children. And so we're thankful. We are thankful for that partnership. The churches in 2017, over 50 churches partnering with us financially by donating gifts, by donating time, by donating prayers. So many churches in this city that stand with us at Hope Resource Center. And I know that for a number of reasons, but that's why starting this Sunday and pretty much every Sunday till the end of February, I'm going to be speaking at a different church. Because the churches are partnering with us and they're saying, come in during Sanctity of Life Month and even after, we want to talk about life. We want to talk about abortion. Now, will that be brought up? Sure. But hear me, the focus isn't what we're against. Am I against abortion? Am I anti-abortion? You better believe it. But I'm not going to spend my time and my energy on telling people what I'm against. What I'm going to spend my time and my energy on is telling people what I'm for and the difference that we can make. And so what I do is I go in and I say, I am pro-life, unapologetically pro-life in every situation, in every case, every time. And through the work of Hope Resource Center, we're able to tell patients that you can do this. And I sound like a broken record, but it is important that patients hear you can have your baby and your dreams. Society and culture is saying something very different than that. But we look at a patient and say, you can have both. You don't have to pick and choose one over the other. And frankly, without your partnership, we wouldn't be able to do that at the level that we do that. And so when I go to Black Oak Heights Baptist Church this Sunday, I'm going to be talking about life. I'm going to be talking about how it's a gospel issue. How as gospel people, as Christians, we need to be celebrating life. We need to be carrying the torch for life from womb to the tomb. I find myself at Shoreline Church speaking. I'm going to talk about the same thing. In Calvary Chapel, in Calvary Baptist, in Seventh-day Christian Assembly, in Ignition Church, and on in the summer when I'll be speaking in Providence. And wherever the Lord allows me to give voice for those that don't have one, that is going to be my focus, is the celebration of life. Not just how bitter and angry we are at the abortion lobby. Am I angry at the abortion lobby? Sure. But we can sit around and be angry, or we can get off of our hind ends and do something about it. And that's what we do at Hope Resource Center. That's what pregnancy centers across the country are doing. That's what we're going to be doing in D.C. next week. 200,000+ people coming together in Washington, D.C. And it's not going to be about bitterness and anger. Now, will there be some bitter, angry people there? You better believe it. But the vast majority of the folks that are there in Washington are there to tell the world that life has value and it needs to be celebrated, it needs to be protected. And there'll be protesters protesting us, and that's where you'll find the bitterness. That's where you'll find the anger. And see, the abortion lobby is made up. That is their focus. That's their foundation, is anger and bitterness toward those that would dare stand in the way of abortion. But here's what we have on the pro-life side, is we know how it all ends. And so we stand with the gospel and we take life that direction. And that's not bitterness and anger. That is celebrating the gift that God has given us. We'll talk more in a sec. So we say, no. So as we continue our conversation on life and celebration of it, I do want to look ahead to what is happening next week at the March for Life. And so the theme this year is Love Saves Lives. Have you ever thought about what that really means? When you think of yourself as being pro-life, when you think of yourself as an advocate for life, have you ever spent the time to just sit and think about the importance of that? And I'm a little amped today because probably I would say because just a few days ago on Saturday, my child was born. And so I watched life enter the world once again for the fourth time in terms of my children. And so as I watched my wife in pain because she progressed a lot quicker than the epidural, and then I see my child enter the world. And I see my wife caress little Charlie. And then we cut the umbilical cord and we, the nurses rubbed on Charlie's back and then she started to cry and she started to make noise. And she started, then I started to think, wow, this is the first time she's taken a breath. This is the first time she's been held in arms. This is the first time she's seen a hospital room. This is the first time she's seen her dad. Then we took her home, and I thought, this is the first time she's been in a car seat. This is the first time she's seen the clouds. This is the first time she's seen rain. This is the first time she's ridden in a car. Then we brought her in the house. This is the first time she's seen her house. This is the first time she's seen her siblings that already love her so much. You see, so when we say that we're pro-life, that's what that's about. These aren't just the clump of cells. These aren't just blobs of tissue. And the only difference between little Charlie today and little Charlie back 6 months ago, the only difference is size and proximity. Same DNA. Her blood type's the same as it was 6 months ago. The long toes that she had, that was already put into play. You see, because what I believe is that the Lord knitted little Charlie together in my wife's womb, in her mother's womb. That's what Scripture tells me. But what I also believe is science tells me that all of that was happening in the womb. You see, with the advance of technology, this isn't just some Christians thinking crazy thoughts about life. This is truth. This is science catching up with what Scripture tells us. And so when I march, when I stand with thousands of people next week, I don't stand with bitterness and anger in my heart. As the old me, I don't stand there to say that ultimately votes and Supreme Court decisions are what matter. I'm going to Washington to stand with thousands to say that life has value and life deserves us to stand up for those that can't stand for themselves. You see, my pro-life ethic isn't just about the baby. It certainly is about that. But it's not just about that. It's about the terminally ill. It's about those with special needs, those with handicap. You see, your stance has to be more than just a stance, just something you say, well, I'm pro-life. Well, what have you shown to truly say that? Are you partnering with organizations that are actively standing and supporting life? Are you telling your reps and your senators to vote against legislation that is anti-life? Are you contacting your senators and reps and saying you should support legislation that supports life? You see, because it is a both and, it is when I say it's a gospel issue, that doesn't mean that it doesn't have a political realm. It certainly does. We long for the day that abortion is outlawed in this country. But I don't think that day comes until we reach the hearts of the people. When we reach the hearts of the people, the law, the courts will take care of itself. The problem comes is when we put our hope in Washington, when we put our hope in fallen man. We don't do that. But how are you giving voice to the voiceless? Are you just a bitter person that's angry? Or when you talk about being pro-life, it comes from a place of celebration. That even when people disagree with you, they walk away going, wow, there's just something different about them. Or are they walking away going, oh, there's another bitter person that just says the world's going to hell in a handbasket? That may very well be the case. But what are you doing with the time that you've been given? What are you doing with the funds that you've been given? And I'm not saying simply to just partner with Hope Resource Center. Obviously, that's the organization that I care deeply about. But there are a number of organizations out there that you could partner with and stand with when you stand for life. There's organizations like World Orphans that are working with orphans all across the globe to find them forever homes. And they're doing it the right way. There's organizations like Brave Love that are telling the story of the birth mom. Because, yeah, we love to talk about adoption, but then we shame the mom that chooses adoption. So Brave Love is telling the story of the birth mom and how brave she is and how courageous she is to make that choice. A choice, mind you, that is celebrating life and that is choosing life. So what are we doing to fully say that life has value? And I know that I'm a little biased, but I would encourage you to visit investinghope.com. Read through our blog, read through our services, listen to some more podcasts. And it'll be clear very, very soon where our motivations are, where we find our founding, our focus. You see, because it's easy for me to watch a birth just 3 days ago, to watch my daughter enter the world and give a visual to, that is a human inside of my wife. There's no arguing that. There's no arguing that. And there are some people in this country that would have said, up until that final push by my wife, it would have been okay to take the life of that baby. That's crazy. It's inhumane. It's anti-life. But you see, what's going to happen is as we celebrate life and as we continue our work at Hope Resource Center and as we partner with March for Life and we see the narrative start to shift, it's not bitter anger anymore. It is love saves lives. That's the theme of March for Life. Love saves lives. Why? Because we know it's true. We know it's true. Intrinsically, we know it's true. And one day, we're going to win that argument. And life will be celebrated. And I long for that day. We'll be back. Now all that I want is you. Well, another hour is almost in the books. As always, thanks for listening. You can learn more about Hope Resource Center at investinghope.com. You can follow us on Facebook, on Twitter, Instagram. all of those places. You can learn more and keep up with the work that's going on at Hope Resource Center. We are, again, just blown away at your support and the outpouring of love that our patients receive, not just from our staff, but from individuals and businesses and churches in this city and frankly around this country. We couldn't do any of this work without you. So we do thank you for your partnership. if you want to hear this show, if you want to hear more of this show, then you maybe you get in your car during the week and you hear part of the show and you're not able to listen to all of it. I'm a big podcast listener at times, and so you can listen to the podcast by going to our website, investinghope.com. Click on the About Us tab and then scroll down to podcast, or you can find it on iTunes, Podbeam. It's there as well. And then we post it on our Facebook page and Twitter as well if you want to keep up with that. We're excited about 2018. I'll have a number of guests on the show between now and the end of the year. I talked about this last week, but soon we're going to have Dan Dumas from Kentucky, who has been coined the adoption czar, and we're going to talk with him in the next few weeks about the work that's being done in Kentucky. I'm hoping to connect with him while I'm in Washington next week, as he'll be there as well, and to talk about the work that's being done ultimately to find a forever home for everyone in the state of Kentucky. And my prayer is that every state would look at the model of Kentucky and make it better but at the very least say, okay, we need to do this in our state. We need to find the forever home for our children that are in foster care in our states. And so not every child in foster care is going to be adopted. Some of those children are in foster care for a brief time and they'll eventually go back to their parents. But some of the kids in foster care are waiting for that family to adopt them. They're waiting for a forever home. And so I would encourage you to pray about what that looks like for your family. Do you need to do that? Do you need to step up? They always need families to step up. They need people that'll say, I'm willing to sacrifice. I'm willing to stand and be that forever home for, frankly, for an orphan, for someone that needs it. And so I pray that you would look into that. Over the next few months, we'll talk to people in politics. We'll talk to people in the pro-life movement, to advocates, to nonprofit leaders, to pastors, as we look to see and continue to see the narrative of the day shift to one of celebrating life. I think for a long time, the narrative has been controlled by those that would stand against pregnancy centers and by those that would stand for abortion. And so it is beyond time for us, those that are pro-life, those that are working in the pregnancy center movement, it's beyond time for us to stand up and say, you know what, we're gonna get that narrative back. It's not okay to continue to malign us. It's not okay to call us zealots. It's not okay to lie about us. It's not okay to continue to spread untruths about the work that's being done in pregnancy centers. And so the only way we get the narrative back, the only way we get our voice heard, the only way we find those platforms is if we're willing to stand up and put in the effort, which is why we do this radio show. It's why we do a podcast. It's why we write and have blogs. It's why we partner with organizations like March for Life and other organizations around the country to say, no, we need to have more voices standing for life. And when we have the opportunity, we need to articulate it in a way that brings people on board and not turns people away. Because I've had plenty of sit-down meetings with pro-lifers, and if we can be honest, that I didn't even enjoy sitting down with them and we're on the same team. So if I'm on the same team and you're turning me away, then what do you think you're doing to those that already stand against you? And so what I would say is we don't water down the truth. We don't water down who we are. And certainly don't water down the message. But there is a way of articulating that message. There is a way of having a conversation with someone that we disagree with that also shows, now hear this, that also shows that person that disagrees with me was created in the image of God and has value and deserves what? My respect. Now I know some of you are hearing that and saying, well, I know plenty of people that do not deserve my respect. I get that. But what I'm saying is there are going to be times where we need to have conversations with people we disagree with. And we may still walk away in disagreement, but they're going to walk away knowing that there's something different about you. And so they may not believe that they themselves are an image bearer. They may not believe that they themselves were created in the image of God, but you do. And so if you believe that truly, then shouldn't that drive your interaction? Shouldn't it drive your conversation and the way you treat them? It should. The question is, does it? And then another question is, do we even want it to? Would we prefer to just be the bitter old angry person? Again, I'm not saying we need to water down the message. If you listen to this show enough, if you read what I write, I'm not watering down who we are. I'm not apologizing for being pro-life. What I'm saying is we should be open to conversations. Not compromising who we are. But it's kind of hard to say you're pro-life. It's kind of hard to say that we believe every human was created in the image of God, and then we treat people as if they weren't. If we believe the God of the universe created that person, that should matter. It should matter. And I pray it does. And so as we look to a new year, and as we look to what's happening in Washington next week, I would just ask for your prayers, and I would ask for your partnership at Hope Resource Center. To learn more, go to investinghope.com, and we'll talk to you next week.
Oh, I know I'm on the rise again. Some sights on where I'm going, and my goodbyes.